Cindy and Brian is putting their foot down. We're not going to do pokey gold. You got to use real money. All right. Anyway, so Joe joins us this morning. Thanks for coming in, because obviously it's time to start plowing through the budget. And I guess the first thing people want to know is, are my taxes going up? Are my rates going up for water and trash and all that other stuff? And the good news is?
Yeah, no action on rates this year. So same as always.
We like that. That's a good thing. So, of course, that asks the question, you're going to spend $5 million more dollars. You're going to add some people. Tell us where the people are going to be added as on this proposed budget and the other areas where the city is going to increase their spending.
Yeah, it's a little bit all over, which we haven't done in a few years, but we're addressing needs across the city. As in the past, we are adding to public safety, three fire, three police. As you'll recall, several years ago, the city committed to adding 35 firefighters over the next 10 years. So that kind of gets us towards that goal, and we're still on track for that. But in other areas, there's a traffic tech, some drainage inspection position, a building inspector, planner, parks and maintenance, and repair. So it's and a rec planner in the parks area. So it's a little bit all over.
Well, you know, a budget is general, and then there's enterprise, too. Kind of explain how those two things are different.
Yeah, those are separated because they have really separate revenue sources, and, you know, legally they have to be kept separate. But, enterprise funds are like the BTU, the water, wastewater, and solid waste, and they have separate bills based on usage as opposed to the general fund, which is supported by your property taxes and sales taxes, and are your, you know, what normally people consider their core city operations.
People, I think, should understand the rarity of having something like Bryan Texas Utilities, BTU. Is there used to be a whole lot of them, but they're fewer and fewer.
Right, and BTU is unique in Texas. Or there are a few like BTU, but as far as their ability to generate electricity, most city utilities buy from a third party, but we are able to generate, which helps us be able to get better prices and serve our customers better.
And make no secret, they generate money too, because you can take that power that you can slough off and not use, you can sell to other places, because there's a definite market out there.
Right. And we support the general fund with about $12 million a year in general fund transfer.
Okay, did you hear that? $12 million goes into the general fund from BTU. So it is a moneymaker, and it's a good decision. And obviously, it's something that you want to keep going. But to keep that going, you have to maintain it, and you have to grow it just like you would anything else that's in your budget. And as a looking, one of the things the Texas legislature has passed is a law that municipalities are going to have to obtain what's called a certificate of convenience and necessity if they're going to do any kind of construction outside your municipal city limits. And I'm one of those good old BTU customers who lives outside the city, so I like you. I like that. So, but you want to grow that. You want to have that opportunity. Tell us what a certificate of convenience and necessity is. Is it a hassle to get, and more about that?
Well, what it does is, in the future, it will be required of BTU when we're going outside of the footprint of the city. When we're affecting, you know, folks outside of the citizens of Bryan, we'll have to go to the commission, Public Utility Commission, mm-hmm. and they go through a process to explain what we're going to do, and they'll make sure that is, you know, the wisest choice as far as route, because you get a lot of feedback on, is that the right route? You know, some of these projects have to be done, but it is an additional expense. You know, there are, you know, lawyers and consultants that are related to that. That kicks in about 2021, I believe. So it's a little ways off. But
with that in mind, does that change the budgeting process for BTU? Hey, we need to get these projects on the board before the 21st, because we don't have 2021.
Yeah, that is a focus, is to get what we can done as quickly as we can done that needs to be done before we have to go through that process.
You know, I was looking in the budget projection that you presented to council, and you look at the 2016 budget and 2017 budget. I mean, there's some that are zero in 2016, but in 2017, for instance, BTU Highway 47 substations, $6 million.
Right.
I mean, some things that you've got to be planning for now so that people know that. So talk a little bit about the budgeting for something like a BTU.
Yeah, we do for BTU, we present to the board a five-year forecast on capital spending. We actually do more like a 10-year forecast because these are long-term. You know, we're trying to go where the load is going to go. But we do a five-year forecast that's presented to the board and is vetted thoroughly. And we have borrowing related to that. On the council approved about $100 million of borrowing for BTU on Tuesday that is supporting those projects.
Joe Hegwood joins us. He's the chief financial officer and doesn't talk like one, which is kind of nice because that way we can actually talk like real stuff. How do you determine the projections when it comes to sales tax and hot funds? How do you look in that crystal ball?
Yeah, there are, I guess, 100 ways to do that. But what we do is we will look, you know, look at history and look at what, like this particular year, we looked at the best 5 years we've ever had, the worst 5 years we've ever had, and struck something in the middle. And it's, you know, the worst is below 2% growth. And
let me interrupt you for a second. Now, five continuous years, or you cherry-picked the five worst?
Continuous
years. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So, you know, that's our measure as to what the possibilities could be.
Best case and worst case.
Best case. And we basically picked the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that that is, that we know we're going to be wrong.
Yeah.
We're either going to be too low or too high.
Yeah, that's true.
And make sure that we have the ability to adjust if things don't go well. So that's kind of the process.
Controller Hager certainly can have that conversation with you about it. We thought what oil was going to be. Do you remember when the five contiguous worst were?
No.
Okay,
I don't.
All right, I've been in. But I mentioned that first because those are funds that are important, especially now, you know, sales tax, you have to have some other things go on. You maybe need new operations where there'll be retail sales and such. But we've had a tremendous uptick in hotels in Bryan in the last year.
Yes.
And continue to. And so I could see that hot number could skew a little bit.
Yes. Actually, our hotel revenues have kind of leveled off. We had a bump. Back when the oil and gas was hot and heavy, I mean, they really, really hit the hotels, which was great. We've leveled off now. We have significantly more hotels and rooms. I don't know the number on rooms, but we do have more. So we have a greater capacity to serve customers coming in. Yeah.
My guess is that those flagships, I mean, they do their business, they run their numbers,
yes.
And kind of like a grocery store when it first opens, it's not very busy, but you look 5 years down the road and it's busy, and then maybe hotels are the same because they continue. We're still moving dirt in Bryan. We're still building hotels in Bryan.
Yeah, you know, we are driven largely by Texas A&M, mm-hmm. and they continue to have new programs and new partnerships, so I think we'll have the capacity to serve the future.
Well, I mentioned the sales tax and the hot tax from a projection first, simply because that's not what people think of first. They think of their property taxes first because they got to write a check for that quite often. If it's, I always say you need to look at that tax bill, and obviously a lot of people are, and they're busy over on Briarcrest at the appraisal district. So that is key to people, but they need to also understand that that's not the only revenue source the city has.
That's about a third. It's about $20 million out of our $65 million general fund budget. So it is a piece.
Okay,
a
so piece. That means then where do the other two-thirds come from? Sales tax?
Sales tax is about the same. It's about $20 million, and the remainder is general fund transfers from BTU and from the water department, and then all the other fees that the city has, permits, fines, all those revenue streams.
Those softball people have to pay for their when the tournaments come in here, they got to pay, so that's good
that's
too.
Right.
So some fees that come in there. Are there any other sources that are out there that people might not understand that would be like 2 or 3% that that they would, gosh, I didn't know the city made money off of that.
Oh, goodness, I don't know. Library fees.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Can't build a small
budget.
Part.
Can't build a budget on that. But we are also kind of in an unusual situation this year. I mean, obviously this week, people speaking before council because we had a catastrophe, and you want to plan as best you can, but you know, we're hearing members of the council saying, well, yeah, let's take our entire CIP budget and turn it toward water. That obviously is something that you have to listen to and take into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we talked about our CIP, when we talked about the borrowing that was coming up and the CIP, you know, what we've included in there is what they included in there is what's approved, which does not include flooding, doesn't include a new park, a water park, or any of that kind of stuff. It's basically roads and fire station at this point, and then roads and infrastructure after that. So we look for additional capacity where we can get it. We've been able to save lately in the borrowing market.
That's okay.
In the financing that we've got projected for the city, we will probably save enough money in interest costs to pay for a fire truck. So interest cost, which is about $900,000. Mm-hmm. So, we look for savings that could happen there as well.
You know, the tornado that came through Wheeler Ridge, the high water that we had, have we been able to put together a price tag on what that cost the city?
You know, right now, the number is $1 million, and most of that is BTU, about 800,000 or 700,000 is about BTU, and the rest is the city. So there are some ongoing costs. There are bills that are still coming in, I guess I should say. So
now, and where does that you have a contingency?
Well, it's part of out of operating costs right now. You know, we talk about sometimes about our operating reserves, or you know, we keep, you know, BTU is about 100 days, the city's about 100 days. It'll mm-hmm. come out of that, and you recover that and refill that over time. Now, the FEMA process, what they're telling us is the city should qualify for about a 75% reimbursement from FEMA. That's what our expectation is right now.
Okay.
But it may take a few years.
I was going to say, they're slow pay.
That's right.
So, and we have had members of council who are floating, if you will, the idea of purchasing homes that are in floodplains that are susceptible to having this situation. They are looking at earmarking some funds for that specific purpose. Now, whether that happens or not, that, again, is a pretty large undertaking for a government to do.
Right. And we'll go down two paths. We'll go down the path, I guess council will go down the path of what is the city responsible for out of all this, because there are a lot, you know, there's damage for various reasons, and then, you know, the path that I'll be looking at is, where can those funds come from? How much can we afford, and how can we finance that?
Okay, most likely sources. Because, again, it's one of those, how long's a piece of string? We still don't know how much money we're talking about, and I guess it would have to happen over years, but what do you do when you're confronted with that situation, that you're going to go ahead and jump in the water, so to speak, but you don't know exactly how long it's going to take for you to get out?
Well, I mean, when we do our budget, we basically are trying to account for every dollar. So, you know, I don't have extra dollars laying around. We do have a capital reserve fund, an oil and gas fund, which has got about $1.2 million in it, which is undesignated, but that's not going to go too far.
Right. Well, and much like the rainy day fund in Texas, you don't want to spend it all up. You want to have it there.
That's right. So we will, there's only so many ways you can generate revenue. So we'll look at, you know, what can we cut mm-hmm. as far as spending goes. And that's, you know, that's a council decision as to, you know, where the money goes.
March where they point.
Not an easy one.
I hear you. Okay. Anything else we didn't cover this morning that we need to talk on?
I think you covered the main things.
All right. That's what we want to do. All right. Joe, thanks for coming in this morning.
All right. Thank you.